Wednesday, May 12th. We'll go ahead and call our Planning Development and Extension Education Committee meeting to order. Okay, April, looks like all of the supervisors are here for attendance. I don't see Youth and Governance tonight.
That's correct.
Okay. What's it? No. Uh-uh. Okay. All right. Well, this is exciting for us all to be in the same room together here. Literally, it's been over a year since this particular committee has done that. And as far as the makeup of this committee with the current committee members, we have never done this before. And so it's good to all be in the same room, including the staff, the support staff, and everybody along with the committee members together tonight. I anticipate tonight's meeting will, you know, be pretty straightforward, but extend grace and be flexible tonight as we work through this. Obviously, as we've learned, if we've learned anything over this past year, technology can at times have a mind of its own. So if you're having difficulty with your tablet or microphone or anything along those lines, just let us know and we'll try to work through that. Okay. Let's see, April or Bev, I'm not sure which. Would one of you ladies just verify that we are in compliance, April, with our Wisconsin open meetings laws that we've published and notified as needed?
Yes, the agenda was published in the Kenosha News on April 29th and May 4th.
Okay, great. I know some of our faces, you know, are obscured, and like I said, this is the first time all of us have been in the same room together. Why don't we just go down the line and have the committee members briefly introduce themselves. Zach, let's start down on the end and we'll work our way this way.
Zach Rodriguez, Kenosha County Board, District 8.
Amy Maurer, County Board, District 22.
I'm Daniel Gashke, District 7. I serve as the chair of this committee.
Sandy Beth, and I'm District 19.
Gabe Nuda, District 12.
Okay, great. And I believe we'll have a chance to hear from most, if not all, of the extension educators and staff throughout the meeting. So we'll look forward to officially meeting and hearing from you. Okay, that being said, our featured program tonight is Healthy Communities, Promoting Healthy Choices. And which educator is presenting that? Okay, Terry. I assumed so, but great. Thank you. All right, Terry, take it away.
Hello, everyone. Terry Ward. I'm the administrator for the FoodWise Nutrition Education Program. We work in both Kenosha and Racine counties. And we are presenting tonight on a newer hybrid position called the Healthy Communities Coordinator, which Amy Maisman has filled, and she's put together a presentation on her role and what she hopes to achieve in her role. Some background for you. So Amy has been a solid nutrition educator for 5 years, always going well beyond what was expected and really raising the bar in our program. So I was more than thrilled to have this 0.5 position open up and really excited to get her in that because she was largely already doing the work. So without further ado, Amy Maisman, take it away.
Thanks, Terry, for that introduction. So hello, all. My name is Amy Maisman. And yeah, I'll be presenting on the newer kind of model that FoodWise and health and well-being is more or less moving towards. So as Terry mentioned, my name is Amy, and I've been a FoodWise nutrition educator for the last 5 years, but in the middle of December this last year, I stepped into the Healthy Communities Coordinator position in a 50% role. Over the last 10 years, I've worked in different capacities and with community gardens, local food systems, and such. And so, yeah, some of the fun times at the community garden and farm to school conference that a Fabiola, a coworker of mine, attended, and some amazing staff members. So, as many of you have probably heard, you know, we've done a lot of direct education in the Racine and Kenosha area, and it's been a strong strategy of the FoodWise program over the last 40 years. It allows us to connect to many community organizations and build trust with the individuals in our community to share nutrition and food resource management information. So we work with a variety of audiences. This is pre-pandemic in schools, Fabiola making little food rainbows. Oops. We also do after-school programming and summer programming with youth. And, you know, and now, as you know, in the virtual realm as well. We offer opportunities at community centers and outreach events. We do traveling kind of like one-time nutrition opportunities. We do things in pantries that include food samples, although that will look a little different after the pandemic. And then we also offer, it's called ESBA, Eating Smart, Being Active. It's a nine lesson, 1 hour series that's aimed at parents of young children. And that can be taught in community centers, schools, really anywhere that will take us. And another community program that we offer that is open to anybody is our Cooking Matters at the Store tours, which offer how to eat healthy on a budget. This summer, I'm excited, we're going to be starting a similar program called Discover Wisconsin Farmers Markets that will also allow hopefully limited income individuals you know, a glimpse in ability to navigate through a farmer's market if they've never visited it. And then also this direct education allows us to share with our audiences, you know, some of the work that, like, you know, 4-H is doing or community development or other, you know, opportunities that Extension offers. So it really is great to be able to connect individually. However, we are moving towards what we call PSE, Policy, Systems, and Environmental Changes. So although continuing direct education will be a key component of helping individuals have the healthy choice be the easy choice, we're kind of working on taking this PSE work to a state level. So PSE works to influence, support, and create policies, systems, and environments that are healthy and positive for the community. And so there's a lot of overlap between like a policy change, a system change, and an environmental change. And I won't get into the nitty-gritty details, but I just wanted to give a couple examples of what that might look like. So a policy change that I might be able to help support in my new role as a healthy community coordinator might be rules about foods that are being served in childcare settings or at, you know, the Kenosha County building. I'm looking at those vending machines over there, you know. So a system change might be the addition, which is something I am working on, the addition of EBT at farmers markets, because it changes the way individuals interact at that location. An environmental change might be establishing gardens to grow and donate produce to pantries, which is a program that we do currently support. I'll talk a little bit about that later. And you might say, hey, this sounds like, you know, an environmental change, or this sounds like a policy change. But the idea is that we're working to change the system with which individuals operate. And so you're like, why are you making this change? Your program is so amazing already. Like, what? And that is because what we've recognized is that individuals don't operate in a bubble. Individual behavior is influenced by the systems which they live within. So we see here, you know, we have an individual, their individual beliefs, attitudes, knowledge, but they operate within interpersonal systems, including, you know, relationships, social networks. And within that, there's the institutions and organizations for which they operate within, schools that they have access to, healthcare that they have access to, the businesses and faith-based organizations that surround their community, which is the interaction between all of those different institutions and organizations. And then ultimately, you know, our federal, state, and local government agencies, which dictate a variety of, you know, opportunities or lack thereof, potentially, depending on what, you know, they're looking to access. So, you know, super easy, right? This all makes sense, straightforward. My job is going to be totally simple. So I do just have a short video, hopefully if the volume doesn't work, no big deal, that kind of drives home this idea of the socio-ecological model. Thank you. So if I didn't, you know, do a good enough job explaining it, hopefully that helped a little as well. So, you know, just one of my favorite places. I went to Carthage College. I loved going on the Velodrome, right? And this is an amazing opportunity and unique to this area for physical activity. Another way to consider and look at this like system and model which in our community operates is this idea of the four legs of food security. And, you know, I'm no carpenter, but I know four legs are better than, you know, not four legs. So we want to work to support all of these legs of food security. So they include opportunities for economic security, a vibrant food system, robust federal nutrition programs, and strong emergency food networks. So this is just a little bit more spelled out. But, you know, within my role as a healthy communities coordinator, I can really help support these three legs, which include, you know, helping to promote the federal food systems that we offer. So, you know, we do a ton of work to, like, promote the idea of using food share, accessing WIC, promoting access to free and reduced lunch programs, senior meal programs, you know, supporting emergency food opportunities, so our work in pantries, supporting the Kenosha County Food Bank, and then vibrant food systems, you know, that includes our education, as well as helping increase, you know, affordable, healthy food options, whether that's through farmers markets or, you know, promoting the mobile market, which unfortunately isn't running here now, but these different avenues to access food. And, you know, opportunities for economic security, although I might not be able to work on that as much in my role, extension touches on that through, you know, positive youth development, increasing access to opportunity, work opportunity, community development. So together, we are working to support that food security table. And then one last model that I quickly wanted to reference, I do really like this one. It's this idea that, you know, us still reaching individuals does matter. They say about 30% of a person's like food access and food choices have to come back to, or like their choices, their health behaviors, things like tobacco use, diet and exercise, alcohol use. But 50% of an individual's health outcomes are dictated by social determinants of health. So things such as social and economic factors, you know, I mentioned education, employment, income, and then physical environment. So their built environment and their environmental quality. And so this shift is working to start, you know, chipping away at some of these external factors that influence an individual's ability to make that healthy choice, right? So while we've historically worked significantly in this realm to influence the individual's health behaviors, we're entering the much more complex realm of hoping to, you know, alter social determinants of health. So, I hope you've been paying attention, because now I'm going to quiz you guys. Just kidding, no worries at all. But I just wanted to, you know, if you thought, did anybody catch what percentage of overall health outcomes the individual's behavior make up when we're thinking about that? Anybody catch it? Anybody catch it? Hey, Danielle, he gets a smiley face. Very good. And then can you think of any, like, so what were some of those, like, community-level factors that influence an individual's, you know, access to health opportunities? Anybody? Going once? Going twice? But things like education, access to housing, you know, access to employment opportunities, those types of things are those like community level factors. And PSC, anybody remember what that wonderful acronym stands for? Anybody? Going once? Going twice? So PSC is that policy, systems, and environmental change that we're hoping to start tackling in this position. So just briefly, I'll touch on, you know, just these are a variety of current health standings listed from the county health rankings for Kenosha. So, I mean, the big one that stands out is that Kenosha ranks 58th out of 72 overall counties in Wisconsin for health. So there's a variety of rankings that go into that overall ranking, you know, things such as like obesity rates, diagnosed diabetes, you know, physical inactivity, food insecurity. And these are the types of, you know, things that we hope to shift, that we hope to make a dent in. And so, you know, some of those things that we hope that we can affect with our different new policy systems and environmental change are, you know, length of life, right, quality of life, and then these different health factors, you know, the food environment index, access to exercise, food insecurity, and things like that. So currently in Kenosha, we have a handful of PSC measures underway. This includes increasing youth garden experiences, hopefully by connecting with KUSD and community gardens already present in the community, working with the Kenosha Farmers Markets to increase EBT use, as well as marketing the purchasing of food-producing plants and seeds with EBT or food share, and then also really hoping to bolster the double dollar or market match program where individuals that use EBT at the market can double their purchasing power. For some markets, it's set for $20 a market. For others, it's dollar to dollar. So if an individual that uses food stamps goes there for and spends $20, they will receive $40 in tokens to spend at the market, which is, you know, pretty amazing, I think. We offer Growing Together grants, which works to develop gardens where ultimately any food that is produced is going to be donated to food pantries, food banks, or meal sites so that it's more accessible to a wider range of individuals besides just the gardener. We offer food pantry training to help keep food pantries products like safe, and then with a focus on like health and nutritional quality over like quantity of, you know, bread and baked goods. And then, yeah, I'll be participating in Southeast Wisconsin Sewer PAC to advise a regional food system plan. And as many of you may know, we've been managing an emergency food resource document. It's a digital document to help people navigate the food emergency resources in the Kenosha area. So, PSC is exciting. I'm excited. We're also very flexible in what we can do. So, you know, if there's any sort of initiatives that you feel can have that kind of like a policy or systems or environmental change in the community, I'd be happy to chat about it and see how we can work together. So, yeah, I know that April will be sharing this presentation with you. So if there's any questions, I'm happy to take them. Otherwise, thanks for hearing me out.
Thank you, Amy. Committee members, any questions or feedback for Amy?
Cool. All right, thanks so much.
Thank you. It's always exciting to hear these featured program updates. Some things that come through this this portion of our committee are kind of pass-through funding, so to speak. Terry and I were talking for the food, for instance, much to all of that comes directly from the federal government. And so we don't necessarily vote on a lot of the funding measures ourselves, but still a lot of very exciting and important things happening. And it's great to be able to hear those updates. So thank you, Amy, for the featured program tonight. Terry, did you have anything else at all on this?
No.
Can you hear me? Am I on now? Yeah. Okay, no, I think that's it. Amy, you captured it really well. Thank you. I can start with updates if you'd like. Oh, youth and governance first. Okay.
Okay, great. Youth and governance. So I believe that would be Erica tonight, yes. Serving in her newish role.
Yes, 1 month. They told me I could call myself new for 2 years. so if I make any mistakes, then that's... that's my excuse, and you can't get mad, right? Hi, my name's Erica. I met a few of you on Zoom at our last meeting. As Supervisor Gasky mentioned, I have been in the role about a month as the new Positive Youth Development Educator for UW-Madison Extension, so I'll be managing the Youth and Governance cohort for the upcoming year and afterward. So this next Tuesday at our next full county board meeting is when we will be introducing... first orienting and then introducing all of the new youth and governance representatives. We have two here with us today who I invited to join. Brooke Smith here will be joining you on the PDAC committees after she's appointed next week. So welcome, thank you so much. And then Ben Rudolph over here is going to be on our legislative committee, but really wanted to take tonight to come out and, you know, see how it all works and see some of the incredible programs we're working on. So thank you both for coming. Welcome. Please take a minute to say hi to them. Introduce yourselves after the committee meeting has adjourned. So next Tuesday, we'll be saying goodbye to all of our youth and governance participants from this year. I think this will be the only opportunity that they've had, or one of the only opportunities, or at least in a while, that they've had to be in person. So we're really trying to make that special and give them their pins and kind of give them words of thanks for all their hard work in such a especially challenging year, and then get started, hopefully, with another incredible year of youth and governance. So thanks, everyone, for your support, and looking forward to next Tuesday and getting started.
Great. Thanks, Erica. Committee members, any questions for Erica regarding youth and governance? Anything at all? Yes, Supervisor Dudo.
Anybody coming back from last year? I think there was some discussion that maybe someone was coming back.
Right. So we did extend that opportunity. I don't believe any of the youth who participated this past year were either interested or able to come back. So we did extend that opportunity, but the answer to your question is no. Anything else at all? All right, thanks. Then I guess we'll roll into agenda item number 4, just the general program and educator updates. And Bev, at your discretion.
Well, why don't we continue on with Erica's other programs, and then we can kind of transition down the line.
Sure. So we have the Youth as Resources program with the new cohort just being extended their offers as well. So next Monday we have our monthly board meeting for Youth as Resources, and all of the new Youth as Resources members will be joining the ones from the past year and getting introduced and getting oriented to the program, and then we will move forward from there. We have 2 returning members and the rest are graduating. This year we have 5 who will be seniors and 4 that will be underclassmen or 11th graders. So perhaps next time there'll be a little bit more kind of the same members continuing, but very excited for that as well. We just received notice that we got approved for a CIFAR grant, which is in partnership with HBCUs in North Carolina. And this will be a grant focused on a program that will be 5 years long, focusing on college readiness for a cohort of students. This will be focused on Black and Latinx students. And so we're just, you know, really excited to get started with planning and figuring out exactly how that program is going to look. But the timeline right now is we'll spend the next year on planning purposes and figuring out exactly how it'll look and how to recruit, and then from there we'll move forward. And it will be essentially just kind of a wraparound support for a cohort of students starting in middle school through high school to ensure that they have all the information and resources that they need to choose whatever it is they'd like to choose after graduation. So we're really excited about that. Otherwise, 1 month into the role, and I've just been having a wonderful time meeting many of our community members and community partners and identifying potential opportunities for additional programming and improvements to programming that already exist. I had a really incredible 2.5-hour meeting with Donna Rhodes talking about the Summer Youth Employment Program, which seems really incredible, and I'm excited to continue to learn about that programs and others and figure out where we might add some evaluation or other components. Yeah. So thank you.
Great. Any questions, feedback? Yes, Supervisor Rodriguez.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just feel compelled whenever I hear the word Latinx to address that. As the only Latino member and only minority member on the Kenosha County Board, I've taken purview to see that the County Board never used that word. We have had it removed from resolutions in the past. I'm a proud Latino. Every Latino that I have ever met is a proud Latino, whether they are male, female, or identify as something else. It's a term that I've gone into great depth in the past that is seen by the Latino community as a whitewashing of our culture. And so I hope that we don't see it further in front of this committee. It is your position to use it how you may feel fit. But I just wanted to address that, and I will continue to address that moving on in the future as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor. Anything further? Any other committee members? Feedback? Questions? Okay, thank you, Erica.
Okay, I'll go ahead and give the other FoodWise program updates. As Supervisor Gashke mentioned, we are 100% federally funded through the SNAP Ed, and the FNEP is the acronym. It stands for the Expanded Food and Nutrition Education Program. So those are federal dollars that we bring to both the Kenosha and Racine community. And I'm just wrapping up the budget for fiscal year 22, which starts October 1st. And really, it's about a flat budget again, so right around $725,000 total, and that is split pretty evenly between the two counties. So that's how we receive and share our resources locally. And the budget has been a big process, a lot of details with the federal stuff, so we're happy to be over that hump. And tomorrow I get to start our journey back to the office. So I'm slowly opening our office, which is in Racine. And we will be developing a plan to make sure that everybody's safe and distanced, and might be a little challenge. We're co-located with a Head Start program, but we are up for it and ready to get going. Let's see what else is happening. We're currently wrapping up most of our school in-school education in Kenosha with second and fourth grades, and we have been working closely with the Kenosha Parks Alliance to plan the summer education. So we will be working with the YMCA at a couple of parks. We'll be working with Boys and Girls Club and then the ELCA organization. That's really the gist of it right now. Any questions? Thank you.
Thank you, Terry. Okay, Amy.
Good evening. Can you hear me?
Yep.
My name is Amy Grile. Hello, everyone. I know many of you, but for some, just first time face-to-face. I've been with Extension now for 10 years. I've been in Kenosha for about 7 of those years, and I am your community development educator. So my programs currently are largely around two, I guess, program areas, which would be entrepreneurship and economic development, and the second one being leadership and organizational development. So right now, out of the economic development and entrepreneurship, there's two programs I'm kind of ushering forward. The first is a child care boot camp, essentially. It's called the Child Care Business Foundations, and we'll be offering 8 sessions of 2-hour sessions to existing and prospective child care operators. So we know child care operators are under an extreme amount of stress. Certainly pandemic exacerbated this, but financially it is a very, very difficult industry to find viability as a business owner. So we're devoting special resources through Extension to really target child care operators. We'll be teaching them through these sessions things around accounting basics, operational efficiencies, business determination types, business planning, a number of different certifications in are involved here, and it's going to be a very, very nice program. So watch for that information. We're putting that together as we speak, and that'll be offered throughout the state, but our region, I'm kind of heading up with Sarah Hawk's promotions for Racine, Kenosha, Milwaukee, Walworth, and Waukesha counties. Second entrepreneurship program we recently just received funding to do is targeting creative entrepreneurs, social enterprises, and artists and cultural producers, as we say. So we're targeting 15 small businesses that are all directly or indirectly resourced through the Kenosha Creative Space. So they're working actively, growing businesses actively, but this program is really intended to help them refine their business concept and ultimately find more profits. It will be in partnership with the three higher ed institutions here in Kenosha, Parkside, Carthage, and Gateway, and we're going to be pulling from their faculty for intensive mentorship opportunities for their faculty and staff. So it's really, it's a pilot. It's not been done. This is a really, I think, exciting opportunity to extend resources to people who are generally kind of not included in sort of the scope because their business is non-traditional and their services and products don't necessarily translate into traditional business planning models. So really excited for that second option of entrepreneurship. And then finally, I'm wrapping up our second program of what's called relational networking. This is a community leadership and organizational development curriculum that I'm co-creating with two other extension educators around how do you build relationships across divides. Daniel and Sharon Palmaville are two, and actually Erica, are involved in, and Amy. So I've handpicked several individuals that I believe are working across divides now that are fractures within our communities that we're really trying to teach new skills of how do you build relationships, the how, the competencies that help you develop relationships when you may not necessarily like the person, you may not agree with the person, your values may not align with that person, but how do you forge relationships so that you can get things done. So that's been a huge lift. There's six sessions and everyone has been really engaged, and our last session will be next Thursday. Tomorrow's our fifth of six sessions. So yeah, it's all going very well and I'm interested in your questions.
Amy, as far as the child care training and support you mentioned, are you reaching out to all the area child care centers to make them aware of this opportunity, or how are you getting the word out about that?
Yeah, so there is a number of different certification and licensing networks out there. I'm not super familiar with them, but Sarah Hawks, our human development and relationships educator in Racine County, certainly does work with a lot of these. It's called WECA, Wisconsin Early Child Care Association. So they have an extensive network because people have to, of course, go through certifications and licensing to actually operate their businesses. But I'm still very eager to find other ways of connecting with home-based businesses and certainly those that are not quite yet in the field but are looking. I mean, many people through the pandemic have, you know, kind of pivoted and considered offering in-home child care just because they've been out of work for whatever reasons. So yeah, I am all ears. Today I reached out to like CABA and the Chamber and the Convention Visitors Bureau and RAMAC, our CEDC and Racine side. You know, I'm just trying to, how do we like infiltrate some networks of more of the entrepreneur side of this space that are not necessarily like large centers but can still certainly benefit from these courses.
Thank you. Any other questions, feedback? All right. Thank you, Amy.
That's everyone.
Okay. Well, that wraps agenda item number 4, and this leads us to our last agenda item for this portion of our meeting, for the last time, brought to us by Bev. So as I'm sure you are aware, this week, Friday, is Bev's last day serving in this role. And so if you haven't got a chance to touch base with her, thank her, tonight would be a good opportunity to do that. But Bev, we have plenty of time, so take the time that you need to share with us whatever you'd like to. Thank you.
Great, thank you very much. And I guess the first comment I have is just how grateful I am to the county as being such a terrific partner with Extension over the years, and also for your role supporting us on the PDAC committee. So thanks so much for that. I emailed the committee earlier this afternoon about that Chrissy Wen is going to fill in for a few months. My position will be posted as is, a two-county position. They were looking at more counties and now went back to making it a two-county position. So they're hoping to have somebody hired by late July, early August. And so Chrissy will be filling in for that time period and is available to support staff, work through the budget pieces, and be available. At the same time, she also has Walworth, Jefferson, and Rock counties, so she will be very busy trying to coordinate the five counties to make that all happen. We conducted 4-H program educator interviews. Unfortunately, we were not successful in finding a candidate. So we are now revisiting, kind of looking at all aspects of that position. We're not sure it was posted as a 0.6 FTE to full-time, if that was part of the issue. And so we'll be looking at that as well. So I guess stay tuned on how that is. But so Jen Reese is the interim through June, and then we have to sort out what happens at that point. So, like I said, stay tuned for that. And I think those are my main updates. Are there any questions for me?
It doesn't appear that there are any, but Bev, thanks again. Remind us, how many years have you been serving in this role and then serving with Extension in general?
I came when Teddy Winnett retired about 4 years ago, so I've been in Kenosha County for 4 years, and in Racine County, I started there in 94 and started in Greene County in 90, and then I had an interim role, and so it's been about 33 years.
Wow, that's great. Well, thank you for your many years of public service and education to our communities, making all the communities a better place, and your mentoring of all the educators and things that you help oversee. So, yeah, thank you very much. We wish you well during this new and exciting phase of your life. So.
Well, thank you. I really will miss the people part of the position, and it's so exciting to see what staff have ahead and what they've planned and what they've accomplished, and so that definitely has been a joy, and thanks again for your support.
Good. Okay, well, then that does conclude agenda item number 5. We are obligated to wait until 7 o'clock to begin the land use items portion of this meeting, so we'll take about a 20-minute recess. And feel free to, you know, stand up, stretch your legs, get some fresh air, whatever. But we will resume with the land use items, agenda item number 6 at 7 o'clock. Thank you.